The train hit. It flashed into the station on a tide of noise. It roared from the tunnel like a solid metal thunderbolt, seeming to cross the space between the tunnel mouth and the slowly moving train in front in the same instant as it appeared. Zogzal, closest of them all, caught a fleeting glimpse of the train's sleek, shining nose before that great shovel front slammed into the back of the other train. He could not have believed there was a sound greater than that the train had made in the tunnel. But the noise of its impact dwarfed even that cacophony. It was a star of sound, a blinding nova where before there had only been a dim glow. The train hit at over 190 kilometers per hour. Wubslin's train had barely progressed a carriage length into the tunnel and was moving hardly faster than walking speed. The racing train smashed into the rear coach, lifting and crumpling it in a fraction of a second, crushing it into the tunnel roof, jackhammering its layers of metal and plastic into a tight wad of wreckage, in the same instant as its own nose and front carriage caved in underneath shattering wheels, snapping rails and bursting the train's metal skin like shrapnel from some vast grenade. The train ploughed on, into and under the front train, skidding and crashing to one side as smashed sections of the two trains kicked out to the wall side of the tracks, forcing them both into the main body of the station in a welter of tearing metal and fractured stone, while the carriages bucked, squashed, telescoped and disintegrated all at once. The whole length of the racing train continued to pour out of the tunnel, coaches flashing by, streaming into the chaos of disintegrating wreckage in front, lifting and crashing and slewing. Flames burst and flickered in the detonating debris, sparks fountained, glass blew spraying out from the breaking windows, flaying ribbons of metal beat at the walls. Zogzal ducked in, away from the pulverizing sound of it. Wubslin felt the train hit. It threw him back in the chair. He knew already he had failed. The train, his train, was going too slowly. A great hand from nowhere rammed into his back. His ears popped, the control deck, the carriage, the whole train shook round him, and suddenly, in the midst of it, the rear of the next train, the one in the repair and maintenance cabin, was racing toward him. He felt his train jump the tracks on the curve that might have let him roll to safety. The acceleration went on. He was pinned, helpless. The rear carriage of the other train flashed toward him. He closed his eyes, half a second before he was crushed like an insect inside the wreckage. Hawser was curled in a small doorway in the station wall, with no idea how he had got there. He didn't look. He couldn't see. He whimpered in a corner while the devastation bellowed in his ears, pelted his back with debris and shook the walls and floor. Balveda had found a space in the wall too, an alcove where she hid, her back turned, her face hidden. Unaha Klosp had planted itself on the station ceiling, behind the cover of a camera dome. It watched the crash as it went on beneath. It saw the last carriage leave the tunnel, saw the crashing train smash into and through the one they had been in only seconds before, pushing it forward in a skidding, tangled mass of mangled metal. Carriages left the tracks, skidding sideways over the station floor as the wreck slowed, tearing the access ramps from the dock, smashing lights from the ceiling. Debris flew up and the drone had to dodge. It saw Yalson's body beneath it on the platform, hit by the slewing, rolling carriages, tumbling over the fused rock surface in a cloud of sparks. They swept past, just missing the mind, scraped the woman's torn body from the floor and buried it with the access ramps in the wall, hammering into the black rock of the side of the tunnel, where a squeezed-out collar of wreckage swelled as the last of the impetus from the collision spent itself, compressing metal and stone together. Fire burst out. Sparks flashed from the tracks. The station lights flickered. Wreckage fell back, and the quivering echo of the wreck reverberated through the station. Smoke started up. Explosions shook the station, and suddenly from out of the ceiling, surprising the drone, water started to spray from holes all along the surface of the rock, beside the flickering lines of lights. The water turned to foam and floated down through the air like warm snow. The mangled wreckage hissed and groaned and creaked as it settled. Flames licked over it, fighting against the falling foam as they found flammables in the debris. Then there was a scream, and the drone looked down through a haze of smoke and foam. Hawser ran from a doorway in the hall, just up the platform from the near edge of the burning metal rubble. The man ran up the wreckage-littered platform, screaming and firing his gun. The drone saw rock fracture and explode around the distant tunnel entrance Zogzal had been firing from. It expected to see answering fire and the man fall, but there was nothing. The man kept on running and firing, shouting incoherently all the time. The drone couldn't see Balveda. Zogzal had stuck the gun round the corner as soon as the noise died away. At the same time, the man appeared and started firing. Zoxal had time to take aim, but not to fire. A shot landed near the gun on the wall, and something hammered into Zoxal's hand. The gun sputtered, then went dead. A splinter of rock protruded from the weapon's casing. Zoxal swore, threw it away across the tunnel. More shots burst around the tunnel mouth as the Changer fired again. Zoxal looked down at Avager, who was moving weakly on the floor, face down, limbs shifting in the air and over the rock like somebody trying to swim. Zoxal had kept the old one alive to use as a hostage, but he was of little use now. The woman, Yalsin, was dead. He had killed her, and Horza wanted to avenge her. Zoxal crushed Avager's skull with his foot, then turned and ran. There were 20 meters to run before the first turn. Zoxal ran as fast as he could, ignoring the pains from his legs and body. An explosion sounded from the station. A hissing noise came from above Zoxal's head, and spurts of water from the sprinkler system started to fall from the ceiling. The air glowed with laser fire as he dived for the first side tunnel. The wall blew out at him, and something hit his leg and back. He ran on, limping.